Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Well, welcome back to the Buckhead Church Podcast. I'm here today. I'm recording out of my home today. And I'm here with Emma Pitts, owner of Pull Spark Media. What are we calling it, Emma?
Just Pull Spark.
Spark. Good, yeah. Emma is a good friend. We used to work together. Emma, I do want to ask you about your previous job, because when we worked together, you worked at North Point and you led North Point Online.
Yes. Yeah.
How crazy has that been to think about what you used to do and how relevant that is now?
Well, I love watching how much it's been innovated over the last couple of years. Yeah. I think especially too, we're going to learn a lot from what you all are doing online over the next couple of weeks and how that's going to, you know, continue to play in to things that are happening. Specifically, what I've seen is how you all have got this new iteration of involving kids and family ministries mm-hmm. that wasn't around when I was there. And yesterday morning, we were watching the service, but my kids were like, well, when's our service coming on? And the fact that I didn't even tell them that it was coming, but they were just asking and super engaged. So I really love how it kind of incorporates the whole family now. It's been really good.
Well, we are standing on your shoulders, that's for sure, because you led it really well. And it's only where it is because of you. But we titled this topic, this podcast, we titled it How to Pivot Your Business in a Crisis. Which we're only a week or two into this, so yeah. None of us have this figured out. But the online church option is an example of how we're having to pivot our organization, but you're having to do that with your business as well. You want to explain to everyone what you do and why pivoting is essential?
Yeah, so I left North Point and actually interviewed at a few agencies, that phenomenal agencies, and just decided, hey, I think I really value making my own schedule and things like that, and wanted to have flexibility. So I said, hey, I'm going to start my own thing. So I started Pull Spark. Our first client was the John Maxwell Company. John Maxwell had a leadership conference called Live to Lead. That was the first thing we ever got hired to do, which is incredible. So we've had very fortunate success since day one. So we're entering our fifth year in 2020. Which was projected to be our biggest year yet.
How many employees?
So we were going from 5 employees to 7 employees. So we added one in February. We were getting ready to add one on March 30th. More on that later. We were closing some of our biggest deals with some of our biggest brands, Ernst & Young, things like that. Really exciting times. And in a matter of 4 days, a lot of that was just gone. But we do video and event production. We specialize in large gatherings. Everything we do is more than 10 people. That can be a video set. That can be an event. We also build installs and experiences for PR things. We travel a lot for work. This is the most I've been home this year. But I would say on average, you know, the last couple of years, I traveled 2 to 3 times a month for work. So, but yeah, we've had a lot of fun and videos and events, and that's pretty much what we do.
What was the moment in the last couple of weeks where you knew, oh wow, we've got to make a change?
Yeah, so it was about a week before South by Southwest got canceled. So South by Southwest, if you're not familiar with, is one of the largest creative conferences in America. It's held in Austin, Texas. About 200,000 people attend this conference. It's literally, when I say conference, it's you really walk around the whole city of Austin and experience everything. It's very expensive to go to. Tickets are about $1,700. I was going to roughly spend about another 10 grand taking my team. There was 4 of us that were going to go. So between flights, hotels, food, everything, we were meeting a client there. About a week before, I just had this gut feeling where I was like, this is just not going to slow down. This is going to keep going. I think I need to cancel and keep as much cash as I can in the bank. And so I did that. The same day that I did that, I had our first event cancel, which was an event. So this is early March. But I had an event in the middle of April. It was a small event, but they called me that afternoon. And I was like, okay, feeling the right things in my gut. I knew then we were going to have to make a pivot and that Q2 was going to look very different, than what we thought it was going to look.
Mm. Which one of the things that, and as I was thinking about today, thinking about having this conversation with you, Emma, I was reminded of how managing people is a lot like pastoring. And I don't know if you've ever thought about your job that way as a small business owner, but, and then this is really for anyone who's listening or watching today. If you're leading people, it's really similar to pastoring in the sense that you're constantly thinking about what do these people need? How can these people grow? I'm not trying to get something out of them. I'm trying to get something for them. I'm trying to build something in them, trying to develop them so that they can do more, so that God could use them more. And so in the same way that I'm thinking about that for our church, I know you're thinking about for your particular business, how do we pivot to be able to make sure that our employees are taken care of so that they can have money, food on the table for their families so that we can meet the new needs of our clients and customers. I only give that framework because I feel like it makes this conversation, I hope, super relevant for everyone. Have you ever thought about managing that way?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think most of the time I'm trying to steward, someone's emotions versus, necessarily the work that they're doing, because emotions drive so much of what we do, right? Like if I wanted to make an intellectual decision, I would eat kale salad for lunch today and yesterday and the day before. But so much of what we do is driven by emotive decision-making and emotive perspective. And so it's not, and I say managing emotions, and what I mean by that is being sensitive to what the person's emotively feeling, but then also taking in a strategic standpoint and saying, okay, have you thought about this perspective? Mm-hmm. Because I know you're sitting over here in this circle and all you've seen, you know, is this information. Because generally as the leader, and as the pastor of a church, you see where the entire church is going. You know what's happening in the main room and students in Wombaland. And as a leader, I know every piece of the pie generally of what's happening in the organization, where something that somebody might be feeling over here, they don't understand all the moving parts. Sometimes you can share all the moving parts, sometimes you can't. So it's a very delicate balance. Sometimes they're not ready to hear all the moving parts. So I would say that probably takes up 90% of my time. And, you know, I think when all this came up, it's interesting that you asked that, because when all this came up, and I'll just kind of get vulnerable and share something that was going on in our office. But we were getting ready to add another staff who was going to be an editor. And I have one editor on the team, which is video editing. And video editing is a very nonstop job. So there's always videos coming in, and it can sometimes feel like, gosh, when am I going to get a win, or catch my breath? We have lots of wins. Clients love the videos, but they don't often have a lot of time to celebrate because they got to move on to the next thing. Protecting, you're working on 3 to 4 buildings at the same time. One gets finished, but a problem's going on with another one, right? So it's hard to really, so it's a very emotionally exhausting job, and getting feedback from everybody, it can be emotionally exhausting. So if you're in a position, or your team's in a position where they're getting feedback from coworkers, a boss, and the clients, it can be a very emotionally draining. So I've had one editor on the team. It's a very hard position to fill. We finally found somebody. Our one editor on their team has been the only editor in our office for almost about 8 or 9 months. So we were so excited to get to this point and say, we found our person. We actually did headshots. So that person came over and did headshots with us before we got it done. And when all this went down, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to delay this person's start date to be safe. Wow. And for me, the impact that I saw on this other editor emotionally, very quickly, I was like, okay, I'm really going to have to protect them. I'm going to have to tell some clients, hey, things are going to be delayed because of what's going on, because I know this is going to be so emotionally tolling on for them to continue to have to sit in that seat, you know, alone. So my first thought was not money, was not, oh my gosh, Q2's going down. My first thought really was for this one position on our team. I was just devastated that we had, you know, to push this back, and you know, we don't know what it's going to look like. So yeah, it's tough.
That, That's a great example of all that you carry as a small business owner, that not only you're thinking about, okay, what's next? How are we going to continue to bring in work, but also how can we make sure to steward well the gifts and abilities and talents, but also the emotions of the people that work for me. So take us through your thought process, Emma, as you started thinking. I feel like just watching from the outside, we do a lot of, we contract PulseSpark for a number of different projects and video work. But as I've watched your business from the outside of the last couple of weeks, I feel like you've made some big decisions to pivot your building, your business away from buildings, away from live events, more toward video work. And that's what I want to talk about for the last few minutes that we have on this, during our time. So take us through your thought process. What did you do?
So I can just kind of walk you through the 5 days, but once I kind of thought, okay, how do I protect my team in this? I thought, who do I need to communicate to first on my team that needs to hear this one-on-one and then in a group? And I have a leader who's been with me for 3 or 4 years. We're a small team. And so I said, hey, let's go out to breakfast. The next morning we went to Waffle House and I just said, here's the deal. I'll be real honest with you. But I'm going to go talk to the team today. And, so we processed together for a few minutes and then I walked in and I just kind of collected everybody and said, let's meet in the conference room. And step one, my first advice to other people, if they're listening to this, is this was really the catalyst, I think, to help us pivot and pivot quickly, is I just walked into the team and I said, okay, guys, this is going to be an issue. I wrote on the board every contract that we had underway for Q2 that had to do with an event. And I totaled up what our profit was going to be. And I drew a big red X on it, which sounds intense. But I said, I want to be very clear with you all about the cash that we lost, because I want to tell you the cash that we do have. So after that, I talked about here's the cash we have. Here's how long it can sustain us. Because, you know, 4 days later, I found out another agency laid off 75 people that just did events. And so it's just being honest with the team of saying, hey, I'm going to be vulnerable with you as the business owner. I'm going to tell you exactly what we have. And when I did that, what it allowed the team to do is everybody sat up straight. And I said, what questions do you have? Everybody asked a lot of questions. And they said, and I remember Kristen on our team said, what do we need to do to help? Mm-hmm. And so it equipped everybody to come around and say, we know how much cash we have. We know how long we can sustain a full staff. We know, and I told them, I said, this is how much cash we have to make. And so everybody has a number. Everybody knows what that number is. So that was kind of step one that we did. I'll caveat and say one of my mentors, John Maxwell, says that you should always have three avenues of income. So you should build your business around not just one avenue of income, but three. And I am so glad that I took that advice. The same way that you do as a pastor, you don't want to have one way for people to connect with Jesus or for one people to connect, you know, with your church. You want to have multiple ways. To your all's point and what you're doing, that if you can't do one way now you've got online, like now you've got, you still have small groups. So it's always important. I would encourage other small business owners, if you don't have three now, maybe it's your time to invent three or you know, pivot to two more. And then the second thing that we did is I asked the team, I said, okay, we're going to think about what we can do as a business. But we need to think about what do people need? That's the question. Like if we can figure out what people need and if we can somehow figure out like if there's something we do that coincides with those two things, then we can survive this pandemic and we can thrive during it.
Emma, I love that because our tendency is to ask the question, what can we sell? How can we make money in this time? Which I think it's dangerous for any one of us to ask the question, How do we make money off of a pandemic? Right. It's understandable to say, how can we make money during a pandemic? But I think an even better question is what you asked, which is, well, what do people actually need? I think that's a great question.
Right. What do people need? And so we started brainstorming ideas and we just said, really where we landed was, okay, I have a background in North Point Online. So I said, streaming is always something that we promote events. And we said, oh yeah, but you can also stream it because we know how to do that. Well, no, now so many people are going virtual that it's like, hey, we need to put that message front and center that this is something we already do. So there are so many people that have to cancel events, but they can't move them. So is there a way to stream it? Is there a way to get a small group of people together? So we started pushing that message out. And then we all kind of went home that weekend, and I came in on Monday morning, and Seth on our team had said something about the video portion, which had triggered. And that's the thing, is in these meetings, you never know what's going to kind of trigger an idea in somebody. And so I came in, I said, guys, we're just going to get ridiculous, because what people need is they need content, 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 because the only way for them to push things out to their audience is through virtual right now. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just offer an unlimited video package. So we have like a rate for nonprofit, a rate for corporate, where we just said, hey, you can get as many videos as you want. We're going to do this for 90 days, you know, till basically June. Because what we said is people are going to need to, hopefully this ends soon, people are going to need to get back on their feet. They can't go spend, you know, $20,000 for one video after this is over. So what can we do to serve people that we can still do well? But again, and what I told the team is, what their question was, but we have such a high bar of excellence. And I said, but our excellence, our core value is how we honor people. And as long as that core value is still stayed in excellence, like, it's going to be fine. But during a pandemic too, your bar for excellence changes, right? Like, you may not need the $30,000 commercial, and it's not fair for me to go sell that to you. So, and then I think the third thing, the other way to pivot, is look for unique partnerships. Everyone out there is, you know, going to have a really bad Q2. And so how are ways that we can help some of our partners? So one of our partners has a video platform that's like a personal Netflix. You can go in, you can create, Buckhead Church could create its own Netflix. People could watch it on Apple TV, and it's like, you know, a standard fee per month. So I called him and I said, hey, Paul, you want to partner up? I'll sell unlimited videos. You discount yours by 50%. And let's just offer people this dual package, and so that they don't even have to think about a way of distributing it either. So that's kind of tactically the products we came up with. I think that the ingredients to get there is just be honest with your team, and be honest with your team about what your plan is. Like, hey, if we don't sell, this is what I'm thinking. And then ask the question, what do people need and how can we serve them? And if we can approach it from that standpoint, maybe we'll be okay. I don't know.
I think you will. I think you will be okay, Emma. Let's wrap up with this. I feel like you have shown a great deal of empathy to really figure out what do people need. If you could go back and tell yourself something a few months ago, what would you have told yourself? What did you do that you're glad you did? And what are you, looking back now, wish you had done?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I sometimes feel like I lead better during crisis than I do when things are fine. And you probably feel that way too, when somebody in your church comes to you and probably has something they're really going through. But, so I think Q1, I was a little bit probably complacent because I knew everything that was going to happen in the second quarter, of, to some degree of like, oh, we've got all these big events. But I think I probably would have told myself, remember the three avenues of income. Like, remember, you need three, and you need to be pursuing all three, not just one. And when I say that, meaning like one area of service, right? But hindsight's 2020, so, you know.
Hey,
South by Southwest tickets. No, I'm kidding.
One of the things I love, though, Emma, is that you lead with a great sense of hope and a great sense of optimism. How are you? You talked about leading your team emotionally right now. How are you doing that? How are you leading them with hope and leading them with optimism, even in the middle of what feels like a very uncertain, very scary time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I appreciate that you think that about me. I always don't feel the most optimistic because I'm a very serious leader. I'm a very serious person. I like to talk about the serious stuff. So I try and hire fun people. So there's a little bit of both. The first thing I did is our very first work from home day is we had a virtual meeting, and I just had everybody share, hey, what's one thing that's going to be really hard about working from home? And then what's the thing that's going to be really good? And just writing down, you know, one person on our team is very social, you know, and her roommate, they just said, take 2 weeks off so she doesn't have to work. So she said, hey, this is going to be really hard, you know? So I think it's just being vulnerable and saying what's hard about it, what's easy about it. We're celebrating all the small wins. Everybody on our team is, you know, because that meeting is all in and is saying, how can we help people? And so it's celebrating the smaller wins. And I think we're used to celebrating some bigger wins. And then a very tactical thing we did is we said, hey, let's just make a video for people just to make it, about, you know, the good and the hope of the coronavirus. And so we brainstormed as a team. Chris and our team is a phenomenal writer. And it's always nice to be able to let the team do something and have time to do something that is, it is not for anybody else, but for us. So we released that this morning. It's a feel good piece about just all the good that's happening around us and what people are doing.
Love that.
So I think that helps, you know, people stay engaged. They're still creating. They're still making something, you know, even though the purpose of it is just to do it, to do it.
Emma, if people want to watch that video, how do they find it?
They can find it on our Instagram account, PulseSpark. They can find it on YouTube. It's called Connection is Greater Than Corona. But yeah, our Facebook page, it's on there. Right. Yeah, we put it everywhere.
Here's the good news is that I think all of us have the time to go watch it. That's the great news. Hey, Emma, thank you. Thanks for being such a great partner with us. Thanks for your influence on all that we're doing or trying to do online. And just want to say to every business leader out there, whether you own a small business, large business, whether you work for one, we're with you. We're for you. We believe God is for you today. And our hope is that we can do whatever we can do to try to be as helpful as possible. So go with strength, go with courage, go with bravery. And Emma, we're grateful for you. And to those listening and watching, we're with you. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.